continue this morning the lesson that we began about a month ago now, 3 or 4 weeks ago at least. We're talking about assembling together, coming together to worship God, coming together to fellowship together, coming together just to study and to learn. All of those things are important. And there are so many things that go on when we're gathered together. We're looking at this series of lessons that we've entitled, What Are You Missing? What are you missing? Because so many times, we miss out on so much because we're not here. There's some here this morning that weren't here last week. For some, we have some visitors that aren't here on a regular basis. They don't know a lot of things that go on, but they're not regularly part of our congregation. So there's some here this week that probably don't know that we had a baptism last Friday. Don't know, could have known. We've had 3 services, 3 assemblies where we've assembled together since then, where they could have found out. But if you missed those, you're just now getting there. There are some who weren't here last week and still aren't here this week, and they still don't know. They won't know. We had a baptism last Friday. That was good news, so you miss out on good news when you're not here. There are some who aren't here today, and because they're not here today, they won't know that there's also been a tragedy this week. And they won't know until maybe they'll read it in the paper. Maybe they'll hear it on the screen. Much better would be for them to hear it from their brothers and sisters in Christ. And along those lines, I want to talk about one thing that is so very important with our gathering together. Let's look to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we begin at verse 7. We know verse 7 backwards and forwards because of the significance of that verse. Many times we stop and just finish in verse 7, but we want to read verse 7 and then we want to go on a little further. Verse 7 says, And upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday like today, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. First, let's look at 3 things right here in this verse that people would have missed out on, Christians would have missed if they hadn't been there. First of all, they would have missed getting to remember the Lord's death and partake of the Lord's Supper. And that's the reason they came together. The first is the disciples came together to break bread. They came together to remember Christ's death, to break bread in remembrance of Him. They would have missed that. Anytime you're not here on the first day of the week, you miss that. You miss remembering what Jesus did for you. And by that, it belittles the sacrifice that He made for you. It makes it seem as though there must have been something more important. James Garfield, when he was president of the United States, one Saturday, was told that he was to have a cabinet meeting the next day at 11 o'clock. And he said, I cannot. And they said, no, this is an emergency situation. We have to have a cabinet meeting at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. He said, I already have an appointment. They said, you don't understand. We're talking about the whole nation here. He said, I have an appointment every first day of the week with my Lord to eat at His table. Every first day of the week. He had that appointment. We need to have an appointment with the Lord to eat His supper around His table gathered together on the first day of the week, just as they did in the first century. So anyone missing that would have missed the Lord's Supper. Then we see also Paul preached to them. Paul preached to them. Now, you've got to realize they didn't have the Bible where they could just go and read any particular subject. They didn't have a concordance in the back or an index of different where they could just find what they... If they wanted to know more of God's word, they had to hear it from the apostles and prophets. So if they had missed this particular gathering, they would have missed out on getting to hear Paul preach. They would have missed out on getting to learn something that they didn't know before. Getting to have more information about the gospel. Getting to hear perhaps stories of Paul's travels, of the other Christians that he had that had been converted, the other churches that had been started. All sorts of things that they might have missed out on. Also, we see that verse 6 says that Paul had been there for 7 days. He got there a week before and he stayed 7 days. Now he's ready to leave Monday morning. He's going to leave the next morning. And it says that Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his teaching to men. These that might have missed this occasion of gathering together would have missed a chance to say goodbye to Paul, quite possibly for the last time. There's no indication in the scriptures that he ever went back to Troas. He never got to see those Christians. So if you missed out on that gathering, you would have missed the chance to say goodbye to Paul and to greet him, give him a hug, give him a holy kiss as they did in the first century. They would have missed out on that. We have gatherings often. We have special occasions with a gospel meeting or something of that nature where a guest speaker comes in. And we never know when that might be the last time we get to meet that individual. I never get to see them again on this side of heaven. Well, why would we want to miss out from getting to see them and have that time together with them? So let's move on to verse 8. It says, there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. He had fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down to sleep and fell down from the third block of the story and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, trouble not yourselves for his life is dead. He therefore was come up again, and broke the bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. I want us to think about this for a minute. They were certainly fortunate that Paul was there, that he was able to bring this young man back to life. But even if Paul had not been there, even if Paul had not brought this young man back to life, they were together. And by that togetherness, they could be comforted. They could have been comforted. When we have difficult times, and all of us go through difficult times at one point or another in our lives, some may be going through difficult times right now. I know of some. Others may be going through difficult times that we don't even know about. Because of the loss of a loved one, because of any number of financial problems, other worries and concerns, all kinds of things that may be bothering them. They may need to be comforted. And the times that we gather together are wonderful times for us to be able to comfort. In the book of Thessalonians, Paul, talking about the resurrection and the end of the world and how things are going to happen, he tells the people there some things that are going to occur and what's going to be right, what's been wrong that people have said about it, just as in today's time there are all kinds of things that people have said, some that are right, some that are wrong. Paul wanted to set the record straight about the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, and about the end of the world and all of these things. In verse 17 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. That's going to happen through the teaching that he's given. We're only going to be able to do that if they're together to teach one another. talk about time one another in that word. In another place, Paul does some teaching on a similar topic. And at the end, he says, with these words, comfort one another. It's important for us to be able to comfort one another as Christians during this time. It's important for us to be able to rejoice, as we did last week at the birth of a new sister in Christ, as we also were rejoicing over the birth of a physical child. But it's also very important as Christians for us to be able to comfort. Part of what family is all about. Being able to strengthen, encourage one another when things are not going as they should, or not going as we wish they would. But again, we can't do that if we're not here. But when we're not here, not only do we miss out on being comforted when we might need it, but we also miss out on being there for someone else. And I said, well, I'm just one person. It's not that important. Every person is. Every part of the body is an important part. Every individual can comfort another in a way that no one else can. We need to constantly be thinking about those reasons to be encouraged. Rejoice with one another when good things happen. Weep with one another when bad things happen. I want to move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is switching gears considerably from where we were with comforting one another. But this is also equally important. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. Paul says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, will deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. He's talking about church discipline. He's talking about withdrawal of fellowship. In this passage, he's talking about a man who has been living a sinful life, and it needs to be gotten right. It needs to be clear to him that he can't live that way. Pleasing God. And he says, when you're gathered together, church discipline is not something that individuals can go do. We can't say, oh, well, the elders withdrew from so-and-so and so-and-so. No. Yeah, we can't do that. We do it when we're together. The elders don't withdraw from somebody. The preacher doesn't withdraw from somebody. The congregation withdraws from somebody. We have to be together. That's a lot like any other form of discipline. Parenting, for example. But what happens? Two parents don't agree on the discipline of the child. And the one says, such and such is okay. The other one says, no, such and such is not okay. And so when the one that says it's not okay isn't around, the one that says it's okay goes ahead and lets the child do whatever that particular thing is. And the turmoil is that set up when they're not together on that thing. Same way in the church. When the church sees that one of the members is not living as he or she should, and it becomes necessary to withdraw from that individual. If half the church does, half the church doesn't, we're not together. Not going to be effective. Imagine what it'd be like if half of, we're talking a little bit about law enforcement questions, what would it be like if half of the policemen stopped you for going 1 mile per hour over the speed limit and the rest of them didn't care if you drove 30 miles an hour over the speed limit? What if half of them would stop you for walking across the street where there wasn't a crosswalk and the other half didn't care? What if half of them would stop you from running a red light and the other half didn't care? That may be close to where we are in some places. That may be kind of what it's like. And there's chaos when that happens. The church has to be together. This area of discipline, this area of what's right and wrong, and standing for the right and not allowing the wrong. We have to be together. Let's look also at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. We talked before about how after Jesus' resurrection, he came and appeared to the apostles. Thomas wasn't there and missed out. He didn't get to see Jesus because he was gone. We don't know where he was. Don't know, maybe he was working. Maybe he was home with a sick relative. Maybe he himself was sick. Maybe he was just out and about. We don't know why he wasn't there, but he wasn't there. And because he wasn't there, he didn't get to see Jesus. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You know, even today, when we gather together, when we assemble with the other saints, Jesus is here with us. Now, we can't see him and touch him like Thomas did, but he's here. And we know he's here because he promised he would be. So every time that we miss, saints are assembled together in Jesus' name. And we're not. We miss a chance of getting communion with the Lord. Miss that every time we're not here and the saints are gathered together. We're missing out on a chance. Acts chapter 1. Talked a little about Acts chapter 1 a couple of weeks back. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, we see something very common with the apostles. They ask a question that if they had been paying attention to Jesus, they should already know the answer to. But since they haven't been paying attention, they don't know the answer to this question, so they have to ask it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" In verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." The apostles are still thinking about a physical kingdom. They're still thinking, we're going to get back a kingdom like we had with David and Solomon. It's going to be, we're going to be a power of the world here. Missing out on a conversation like this, missing out on getting to ask a question and have it answered. If you're not here for Bible class, which you just have on, if you're in Bible class many times, someone has a question about something that's happened to them during the week. And they ask that question, and it allows the other Christians to put their biblical knowledge as well as their experience together to help answer this question. Many times we just struggle along on our own trying to figure out the best we can. When we have that opportunity, if we'd be here for Bible class, we'd have the opportunity to ask questions and get answers. The apostles were together there when Jesus was there, their teacher was there, and they were able to ask him a question and get an answer. They might not have gotten the answer they wanted. I don't know what they were looking for exactly, but they did get to ask the question and have an answer. We miss out on that. Every week, probably, there is something. If we are studying our Bibles as we should, if we are living life out there in the world every day of the week, there are going to be situations that arise that we might need some wisdom of some more mature Christian. Maybe we might need some wisdom of someone who has faced that same particular predicament. We might need just some advice from somebody who knows what the Bible has to say on that particular topic. We may just need somebody to mention some verses to us that we can go home and read. May not be anything real major, but it's still important to us. We have that opportunity, but we miss out on it so many times because we're not here. And finally this morning, I want to look at one more. In Acts chapter 2, In Acts chapter 2, there are over 3,000 Christians. That's a pretty good start for the first day. 3,000. They got off to a big start. And then verses 42 and following, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Let's stop right there for a minute. We'll look on down to 44 and follow. Let's stop right there. They continued steadfast. Notice it didn't say some of them continued steadfast. They did. All 3,000 of them kept studying and learning the doctrine that the apostles were teaching. It also says that they continued in fellowship. You know, there are a lot of things as Christians that we can do by ourselves. We can study our Bibles by ourselves. We can. Certainly we get more out of it when we can study together as well. But we do need to study our Bibles by ourselves. We can pray by ourselves. And that's good. We should. We should all be praying by ourselves. We can even sing a song by ourselves. It might not sound too good, just one of us singing, especially when we don't know all the parts, or there's three or four different parts. You shouldn't be saying that you're just singing one. It might not sound great, but you can still sing a song. Just I want to tell you something. It is impossible. That's not a word you can use very often, because there aren't many things that are impossible. But it is impossible to fellowship by yourself. You can go home and try it this afternoon if you want to. You can't fellowship by yourself. You have to be together with the saints to do that. Now, a lot of people complain about they don't feel close to the other people at church. They don't feel like they know people. They don't feel like people know them. They don't feel like they're a part of the family. Well, you know why? This is it right here. This is the answer. The fellowship. If you're missing out on the fellowship, you're missing out on the part that develops our family relationship. Our Sunday school classes are great for learning the Bible and for helping us to develop our spiritual relationship with God and help us hopefully to treat one another in a more Christian manner. The sermons are good for helping us to gain knowledge. The singing of songs, taking to the Lord, all of these things are good for various aspects of our Christian life. But the fellowship is the one that helps us socially to be like a family, to get to know each other. We talked about class this morning. How well do we know one another? We need to know each other like family. We know we have brothers or sisters, parents or children, husbands and wives. We know all sorts of things about them. We know what foods they like and what foods they don't like. We know all kinds of things. We need to have that kind of general knowledge about the other Christians around us. That doesn't mean I know everything about everyone. There are far too many of us for us to know that. I mean, I was at a family reunion yesterday, and there were some people at my family reunion that I was having trouble remembering their last name. We had 30-something people at our family reunion, and I had to ask my dad, you know, who's their last name? I don't remember their last name. They hadn't been there in several years. We had some get-togethers. That happens too. Wonder why people don't know us too well? They don't see us. When they don't spend time with us, because we don't come and spend time with the saints when we're getting together, it's easy for people to forget. It's not good. It's not right that we forget each other. But it happens. That's human. We're going to forget. Our minds can't remember. And when we hadn't seen somebody in 2 or 3 months, except for 2 seconds after church as they're zipping out the back door, that was one of the sisters or brothers who on the back of their heads, didn't they? When that's all the contact we have with one another, how can we expect to have a close relationship? This fellowship is important. It's also very important when it comes time to do what they had to do in 1 Corinthians 5. When it comes time to withdraw fellowship. If somebody was never part of the church, never involved, they don't miss much when we withdraw fellowship from them. When they're actively a part, when we include them, help them to develop those close relationships, then it becomes meaningful if there's a chance that they're going to lose that. People will be willing to straighten up their lives and do right to avoid losing out on those relationships that they've developed. Let's move on to verses 44 and following there in chapter 2 of Acts. And all that believed were together. Again, he doesn't just say some of those that believed were together. All that believed were together. Now, of course, that was just in one city. Obviously, we're not going to be together with all of the Christians in the world. We can't do that. Now, in spirit, we may be in that sense so that agree and that we believe in the Bible and those kinds of things. But within the city of Jerusalem here, all of those that believed were together. And now notice how deep their relationship runs. And they had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. At that time, they didn't have their own church building. They were meeting in the Jewish temple. That's where they had to meet. But they continued to meet together daily. They were getting together. They were really developing their relationship. Sometimes we gripe and complain about trying to make it here one time a week, one time a month, or something. Oh, I have to come once a week. These folks were together every day. The elders don't ask that much of us. 4 hours out of 168. So, not much time. And then they were together every day. They were, because why? Not because they had to. The window regulation said, you've got to be together every day. Why were they coming together? Because they wanted to. Have to ask ourselves, if we're not here, why is it that we're not here? Now we know that there are things that come up at times where someone has to work, or someone is ill, or someone maybe is out of town, somewhere else, and they can't be here. But the question has to be asked, why are we not together with other saints? And when it becomes a habit, I can tell you what the answer is. We don't want to be. Sometimes the sad commentary is that we might get to the point that we don't want to be with other Christians. They weren't to that point yet. Maybe it was because they were just still excited. I'm sure there were some. We know there were from Hebrews chapter 10. Some had developed the habit of staying away from the assemblies. But at this point, they were still together, and they were still enjoying being together every day. It says they were eating, breaking bread from house to house, and with gladness, singleness of heart. They were really enjoying being together. And then, of course, it says they were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Every day God is adding someone to that city. Larger city service than ours. 3,000 people on one day, and he continued adding people to that church. But you know why he was able to keep adding people? More people wanted to become part of that. They saw this group of people is different. This group of people loves one another. This group of people is together. This group of people is enjoying one another. And then, of course, they also saw the teaching of Paul. They also heard the miracles, saw the miracles. There were a lot of things going on. But if they had been performing miracles and doing all the teaching, but had been grumpy at each other and fighting and grumbling, couldn't stand to see each other, you think people would want to? Even if you've got the truth about the right disposition of spirit, we've got to want to be a part of this. We want to be a part because we'd miss out on so much if we're not. We talked today about several things that we would have missed out on. Miss out on seeing church discipline in action. Miss out on being comforted in times of sorrow. Miss out on having others to rejoice with you in times of joy. Miss out on being together and fellowshipping and developing good relationships with other Christians. Missing out on taking the Lord's Supper and remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. And we can go on and on, as we will next week. But are we looking at all of the things? You didn't know there were that many things you'd miss if you weren't here, did you? What were Sunday's work? Of things, just reading the scriptures of what we would have missed and what we do miss when we're not here. Why do we want to miss out on all those things? Good for us to be there. We like the scripture that was read. As David said in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said, let us go to that school. Someone says to you, are you going to be there Sunday? Come Sunday. Come Wednesday night. Come to the gospel meeting Tuesday night, Thursday night. Are you glad when they say that to you? Or do you think, oh no, not again. I don't have to go again. David was glad to get to go. We recognize that this is a privilege. It is an honor to be able to gather together as we're going to in a few moments around the Lord's table and partake of the bread and the cup that represents His body and blood. But we realize that is an honor and a privilege. We'll appreciate it a lot more. And we'll desire to be here. We've got to quit looking at things as being all duty and responsibility. We need to look at how much we are gaining by these things. We've got to remember that Christ sacrificed so much so that we can have these opportunities. We need to not take that for granted. It may not always be here that we have the opportunity to just come any time we want to. Some places it's not that way. Christians have to be secretive in order to get together. To be able to come together like this, park our cars outside the building, not care if the police see them, and know that nothing bad is going to happen just because somebody sees our car parked outside the building. We need to understand that. We need to appreciate these blessings and stop looking at the negative side of it. Stop looking at it as something that we have to do, grudging about it, but cheerfully, joyfully, and gladly come to the house of the Lord whenever this needs to be. If you're here this morning and you have need to respond, if you're not a Christian, you can't gather together in the same way. Oh, sure, you can come. You can sit here. You can hear the songs, listen to some prayers, hear the sermon. You can even take it at the crackers and the grape juice. But you're not doing it together with the other saints in your conference. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to become one today. You need to repent of your sin based on your belief that Jesus is the Christ. You need to be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You also then need to on whether they could get in or not. When they did what God said to, He had them. That can happen to you today, too. You're meant to this wisdom. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't truly appreciated the things that are offered as part of the package deal of becoming a Christian. You haven't recognized the blessings that you have in being able to assemble together